we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Guy's going to help me preach today by building Legos. I want you to just build and build and build. Build all you can, all right? So you just go back there and get to work, all right? And I'll get to work up here. All right. Welcome, everyone. My name is Chris Fluitt. If you don't know me, I really want to meet you. I'd like to know you. I see an old friend out there named Joseph Salazar. Give Joseph Salazar a hand, everybody. We go way back. Waco High, all right? Welcome to Redemption Church. I'm so glad that you're here. This is not a mega church, but it is a mighty church. It is mighty through God. It is mighty through the Word. It's mighty through whatever He wants to do. And I'm so glad to welcome you today. We're in the third week of our Lego Church series. Lego Church. You can pretty much build anything with Legos. Amen, right? Amen. I mean, just about anything. I searched Google Images for this phrase, made out of Legos. Made out of Legos. And here are some of my findings. A functional car. It took me to a video of a guy actually driving in a car. The wheels are made out of Legos. The steering wheel's made out of Legos. The chair is made out of Legos. Every part of the car. Even a functional motor made out of Legos. All right? Now, wait till after my sermon, but get online and go check that out, all right? Don't do it now. If you're watching online, wait. Don't go. Just jump over to YouTube. Yeah, furniture. I've seen furniture made out of Legos. Poor college students, they don't. It makes moving every semester a lot easier. You just tear down your couch, tear down your bed, all right? A wall of your house, that someone actually made a wall out of their house. They said instead of like buying mortar and buying brick or buying, you know, framing it and then drywalling it in, they Legoed it in. So you walk through, there's an archway made out of Legos. The housing of a Pac-Man arcade game made out of Legos right there. A computer keyboard. And I'm like, how does that work? They ran wires through it, but actually each key was a small Lego piece. A guitar that they made the neck and the body completely out of Legos and ran the electrical stuff through it. I play piano. I'm not supposed to know about guitars. That's your job. All right. Mount Rushmore made out of Legos. How about this? A life-sized Dirk Nowitzki. We're talking 7 foot tall. Maybe you've seen that one around at the Lego store, Lego Land out in Grapevine. That's where they actually have that. It might take you a long time, but I promise you, it can be built with a Lego. It's amazing. As you start this new year, you feel that drive to build in your life. We've talked about that. Let me remind you, you have those resolutions. You have those dreams. You have that feeling. Sometimes it's like this weird feeling. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I feel, and then you find yourself talking to somebody about it and like, why am I even talking to them about it? That's that drive that's in you. There's a drive in you to do more, to go further, to be more. And in week one, we told you that you build, that you are built to build. And the way you build is you build with others. That's part of that reason why you feel compelled to tell people about your dreams. That's always a dangerous thing to do, but you feel compelled to do it. Why? Because there's something built in you. You understand that you can't do it alone. You need other people in your life. Last week in week two, we told you to build on something unchanging. We talked about foundations, right? If you build on something that is changeable, it will fall apart. Not only are you supposed to build on something on a foundation that never changes, but other people are going to come along and they're going to build on you just like a stacking Lego. So make sure, be very careful, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, in how you build. Today, I want to tell you to keep building. Now, this is a very simple sermon today, right? Very simple. I'm basically just telling you, don't quit. Do not stop. Keep building. We know far too well that we either progress or we Regress. Good job. Good job. Life does not stand still. Your finances are either going this away or that away, right? They're either progressing or they're regressing. Your health, it's either progressing or it's regressing. We don't like to admit it, but our relationships are either progressing or regressing. Time out. There's some good advice right here. Most divorces happen because they have waited too long to face the real issue. If somebody would have said, wait a second, we're regressing. You don't just wake up one day and not like each other. Right? They're either, your relationship is either progressing or it's regressing. You need to see it. Your Dallas Cowboys are either regressing or really regressing. Amen. Amen. That's some good preaching right there. Oh, it hurts. Your dirty clothes or your dirty dishes are either being washed. So that's going down. You got fewer of those things. Or they are now taking over the entire house. Right? You know this to be true. We know all too well that we either keep building on our New Year's resolution or it quickly falls apart. Everybody has that New Year's resolution. Let's pick one. I'm going to go to the gym. So you go to the gym. And the next day, you go to that gym. And you're like, oh, I am so bad. Just look at this body. I am going to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to the gym. It's kind of cold outside. I'm going to sleep in. And it just quickly, can I get a witness in the house? It just quickly goes. There's this thing that if you don't keep building, if you don't make yourself be disciplined, no, you're going to go this morning. All that stuff just falls apart. I want to tell you that you are called to build something big. The God of all eternity has not called you to build something pointless. He's not called you to build something insignificant. He's called you to build something powerful, life-changing, that affects a whole bunch of people. That's what he's called you to build. Here's how you tell if God's calling you to build something. Is it bigger than you? Then that was God. Just every time. It's good advice. Take it. But here's the deal. Building big takes time. Building big doesn't just happen like that. And man, everybody wants it to happen like that. But let me tell you, in your Bible, it never happened like that. Abraham, I'm going to show you this land. And then the next day, God said, here it is. No, you have to go all the way through Genesis. If you're like reading through your Bible, it's like, when is he going to get there? It takes forever. It's like, what? Oh, I'm going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. All right, you read through that in your Bible, and it's like, when is it going to happen? It's like one plague. All right, surely it's over. No, two plagues. No, it's three plagues. No, now they're finally going, and they're wandering around. It's like building big, this big thing, going to the promised land, this big thing that he's, David, you're going to be king of Israel, this big thing that he's promised, Israel, I'm going to send you a Messiah. It takes time. It didn't just happen the next day. Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah gets this word of God about the Messiah that's coming. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And here he is. No, it didn't happen the next day. It didn't happen in his lifetime. Building big takes time. Look at somebody and say, building big takes time. All right. There are things that take more than a day to build. There are things that take more than a 30-second prayer to build. You can't just do one push-up and say, oh, I am the healthiest person on the face of the planet now. I'm so sorry. If we were able to do that, we would all be millionaires. We could just sell that. There are big things, and they take a prolonged, consistent effort. Your marriage. Your calling in God. Your education, your retirement savings. What is that? Let's not talk about that. No, that takes time. Starting that business. All these big things, the big thing that's in your heart right now, let me tell you, There are no quick fixes today. And everyone just left the church, right? What? What are you telling me? I want a miracle. No, miracles are not quick fixes. That's not what God's trying to do. No, what God's calling you to do is going to take effort on your part. What God's calling you to do will cause you to grow up and be big boy yourself. What God's calling you to do is not a quick fix. God's not into quick fixes. In the day of the quick fix, we might not want to hear about building and hard work, but it's the truth. The big work you are called to build will take time and it will take effort. If you believe in what you're building, do you believe it is worth the time and the effort? You want that relationship with your little boy? Do you believe it's worth the time and the effort? Do you believe that it is worth moving down your priorities to other things? Sometimes you can get lost in the project, right? Especially like something like a relationship with your little boy. Okay, he's born and you say, oh, I always want to be there for you. You're looking at him. I always want to be for you. He's like 1 minute old and you're saying, I want to always be there for you. Okay, in that moment, he's like right there. It's so easy to see. But time goes on and you kind of get lost in the projects of life. You forget the importance of that little boy. You forget the importance of this thing that you know in your heart that you're called to do. Because the further you get from that moment, the more it's on you to do. The more it's on you to keep up with and be disciplined about. Building projects have monotony in them. Repetitive motion. Nail, hammer, hit. Nail, hammer, hit your thumb. Nail, hammer, you're bleeding. You're not doing anything else for the rest of the day. They've got this monotony, but here's, oh, we got a piece of drywall up. Really? That's awesome. What are we doing next? Well, there's another piece of drywall. Well, we caulked this wall. What's next? Well, you missed a spot because that was me that caulked it. I'm terrible with that stuff. That stuff is the biggest mystery in life. People are confused about the Godhead. I'm confused about caulking walls and stuff. I've got to just come over to my bathroom. I'll show you. It's terrible. But you've got these building projects with this monotony, and you just do it over and over again. It's a lot like Lego piece. What is he looking for next? What is he going to go for next? Oh, we found a Lego piece. Just one after another. How about this? You do this all the time. You go to school. You go to work. You go to work. It's only Tuesday. You go to work. It's Wednesday now. You go to work. It's Thursday. Spend time with your kids. Don't lose your temper. Change that thing about yourself that you don't want to do anymore. Change that thing about you that you don't want to do anymore. You sinned and you fell into sin. Repent. You sinned and you fell into sin. Repent. You fell again. Repent. There's this monotony, and you get lost in the project because you're just looking at the next Lego piece, the next drywall. Stay back for a moment and realize what you're building is big. What you're building is worth the next moment of your time. It's worth the next hour of your life, whatever it is. But if you get lost in the monotony, you'll miss so many days. You'll miss so many moments. The life you are building is going to be filled with repetition. And it will drive you crazy. Here's a repetition. I'll just take you into the fluid home. Here's a repetition I just can't stand. Where are your shoes? We need GPS trackers for our shoes. We need to just, not on your keys, put them on those shoes, both of them, right? Finally find the shoes. Socks! Where are they? And they will never match. I've given up on that. These repetitive tasks, and there is so much danger in just getting lost in the monotony of it, and you lose the value of what you are building. Do not forget that what you are building is important. it's important. If I could shake you and tell you, man, there's some moms and dads, they just need somebody to shake them. It's important. Your financial future, it's important. Your job and your success on the job and doing the things that allow you to get to work on time, it's important. You're building something and it is worth building. So are you still building? You ever, someone ask you what you're doing and you tell them what you're doing and then they say something like, oh, you're still doing that? It's like, yes, I'm still doing that. Like, what's that supposed to mean? I hate that. Don't ever do that. Well, you're still pastoring? It's like, yes. What is that about? Are you still building? Still building is not a put down. Are you still working at being a good mom and dad? Oh, yeah, and I'm proud of it. Haven't reached the pinnacle yet, but I'm working on it. Do not make the mistake of thinking ever that you're done building. You need to still be building. It's one of the sad things. If you see somebody retire, they're up in age and they retire, they got to find something to fill their life with, or what happens? They don't last long. They got to find something to build on because there's a drive in you to build. You're built to build. As long as you live, your lifelong project remains unfinished. I want us to look at our scripture memory verse, 1 Peter 2:4. I do not have this memorized yet. I'm going to get it memorized this week. All right, putting myself out there. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Bible points out something important in this building project. It says you are being built. Not you were built, but a continual being built. Sometimes we think we have finished building. Why is that? Well, just quickly, sometimes we have small vision. So God's called us to build something big, and we're like, oh, this is probably all we needed to build. And when he called you to do so much more, maybe you're tired. Worse, maybe we're lazy. Maybe we don't know what to build on next. Sometimes you're like, man, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do next. I'm trying to do this, but I'm like, what do I spend my time on next? I get it. Things are hectic. Maybe we're distracted. Netflix. Oh, my goodness. What was I supposed to be doing? Where did that week go? Netflix, right. Maybe we just think we're done. Maybe that's why we're not building anymore. We thought we finished. Oh, we finished that product. Maybe we think that we have arrived. People of faith, you should keep building. People of faith, God's word says that we are still being built. Let me tell you, can I just get off my notes real quick? That's some good news for some of us, because some of you are thinking, man, I shouldn't have this problem anymore. I should be done with this. I should be perfect without sin. No, sir, you're still being built. Oh, man, I should be at this place, station in life by now. I'm entering my midlife crisis and all this stuff. I should have 5 Lamborghinis by now. No, friend, forget about the Lamborghinis. You're insane about that. But you need to be building. You shouldn't have arrived yet. And on, you've got to keep building. I want to tell you, God's word never talks about a retirement plan. Because age is not an excuse. Your Bible doesn't say, okay, you've been a Christian for about 40 years now, you go into retirement. No, you should still be a Christian. You should still be doing the work of Jesus Christ. Your age is not an excuse. The amount of years that you've been in church. And can I just tell you, there's a plague in the church that if you've been in church more than 5 years, it's very unlikely that you'll win someone to Jesus Christ. And that is wrong. That is a mistake. Those are people that have stopped building. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The new Christian that just got saved, they're the one that is excited, and they're the one that just suddenly is building everybody and bringing people to church. Man, I've said enough. I'm yelling at you now. God's word says to endure to the end. As long as you're alive, there is work to endure, work to do. God's word tells us not to act like we have obtained. That's what Paul says. Like the work is finished. Paul, that apostle Paul, says that he still presses. He's at the end of his life. He is still pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Did he say it? That's what he said. So are you still building? Are you still pressing? Are you just going through the motions? Is your heart not really committed to the building project anymore? You ever see someone build or someone help you with stuff and you can tell they don't have the same sweat labor as you've got going on, right? You're like over there, really, and they're like that. That's going through the motions. Their heart's not really in it, right? You've seen that. Redemption Church. Is that us? Do we worship? Do we pray? Do we study God's word? Do we look first in the word of God before we go everywhere else in life looking for the answers? Are we still building? Or do we do these things with an attitude that says, you know, we're really finished. We're already saved. We've got our ticket punched for heaven. We don't have to pray like that anymore. We don't have to worship like that anymore. Do we take serious the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has given us? Jesus told us to make disciples. Are we desperate about that Great Commission? That's your building project. Go do it. Are we desperately working to finish that project? Or do we act like we're done? Well, you know, I would be building, but I don't have anything to build with. That's fair. Like if we did not furnish some building blocks up here, some Legos up here, what could this guy build with? It would be really, really tough. So sometimes you do need to have something to build with. And we've all been there, right? I want to do this in my life, but I don't have the money. I want to do this in my life, but I don't have the time. I want to do these things. I don't have the resources. I don't have the gifts and talents. I don't have the opportunity. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I hate to tell you, but the Bible disagrees with us. It's right here, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Oh, wait, let's let this sink in. The Apostle Peter is telling us that his divine power, God's divine power, has given us how much? Everything we need for life and godliness. That is no small scripture right there. I tell you what, the next time you run into problems and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do, you need to just say, in Jesus' name, I have everything I need. In Jesus' name, I have everything I need in Jesus' name. Redemption Church, what is that divine power? I'll tell you what that divine power is. Well, it could be a lot of things, but it is God. It is God and his power. It is his name. It is the name of Jesus. It is the word of God. It is his Holy Spirit living inside of you. When you have God, when you have Jesus, I'm here to tell you, you have everything you need. I'm going to say it again because I believe it with all my heart. When you have Jesus, you have everything you need. The woman with the issue of blood, she needed a doctor to heal her. No one could heal her, but when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, she found everything she needed. The woman at the well, she was going from relationship to a relationship to a relationship, trying to find happiness. But when she ran into Jesus at the well, she found everything she needed. Anybody found everything they needed in his divine power? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All your favorite Bible stories involve people who did not have enough, but served a God who was more than enough. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough for all my needs. David only had a rock and a sling, but God's divine power said, you go on out there, son. You got everything you need. There was a woman who only had enough to make one more meal for herself and her son, and then they were going to die. Her words, not mine. We're going to make this cake. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. But a prophet came along and said, put that meal in the hands of God, and you'll have everything you needed. And he was right. There was a woman, there was an uneducated fisherman. How about this one? An uneducated fisherman named Peter. And he has been saved 5 minutes. Get this picture of Peter. He is saved in Acts chapter 2. And the next thing you know, there are 3,000 people in his face going, what do we do? Now, y'all, that's freaking crazy. Well, that'd be insane, right? What if you got saved and it's like, I believe in you, Jesus. I'm receiving all of you. I'm baptized in you. Thank you, Lord. And you turn, there's 3,000 people. What are you doing? Like, I don't know. But he had the Holy Ghost. He had the divine power. He had everything he needed. He looked him right in the eye and he said, here's what you do. And 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. When you have his divine power, say it. You have everything you need. Do you believe what I just said? Do you believe that you have everything you need in God's divine power? Thank you, Lord. Now, I believe it was the prophet that said, you don't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, it wasn't the prophet, it's Rolling Stones, I'm kidding. You get what you need. Philippians 4:19 says this, though. It says, my God, he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Keep building. You only have one piece left? Use it. Don't just stand there and go, I only have one piece left. No, you have one piece that you haven't used yet. Use it, and I guarantee you, by the time you're ready for the next piece, it's gonna be there. He's going to give you everything you need because God, he supplies everything you need. It doesn't say God will supply all my wants. It doesn't say God will supply everything culture says I need. It says he will supply everything that you need. So keep building. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We read verse 3. It said you have everything in your need. Verse 5 says this, for this very reason, make every effort. Man, I wish I had more time. I just preach about making every effort. Right? Make every effort. Man, that convicts me to death. You're called to be a soul winner. Have you made every effort? You're called to be a dad. You're called to be a mom. Have you made every effort? All right, you just fill in the blank, copy paste that on your issue. There we go. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. So we start with faith. Now we're adding on top of it goodness, adding to goodness, knowledge, verse 6, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. We're growing, we're building on everything. Now, can I just talk to you about the Church of Jesus Christ? Because the Church of Jesus Christ has stopped building. The Church of Jesus Christ says, congratulations, you have faith, you're saved, see you in heaven. No, you need to make every effort. Make every effort. God will supply all you need, and you will grow. You will grow from the inside out. You want to be a better person? There's a problem with a lot of the culture we have. I'm not talking about you, sweet, wonderful people, because that's definitely not you. Y'all are great. No, we don't necessarily want to be better people. We just want better stuff. God loves to give you stuff. Bible even says that. He loves to reward you. He loves to bless you. But he, more important than you getting the next iPhone, he wants you to be a better, more complete person. All right. Can you see progress? Can y'all see progress in what this guy's doing? Check him out here. Look at him. Look at that. What do we call this thing? What are we calling it?
It's pretty much letters. If you could clearly read it.
Oh, it's letters? Oh, wow. Oh. Oh, wow. What is that?
It's P-E-W-D-I-E-P-I-E.
What does that spell? Payway?
No, PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. All right. I don't know what that is. All right. That was my nickname in high school. That's kind of awkward. PewDiePie. All right. So you're adding. If you're adding, if you're still building, then we ought to see progress. Progress ought to be something that we see. If you're building, we got to see it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect your gift. Just let those words sit there a little bit. Because God's given you so much. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. It's far out stuff. Verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. So that everyone may see your progress. Timothy, you're gifted. Don't neglect your gift. And Timothy, you're called to lead others. So what you're doing, what you're building, they ought to see your progression. They ought to see, man, this guy's turning into a leader. Man, this guy is really dependable. Man, this guy, I see his character is just going through the roof. Man, I see this guy added to his faith. He added to his faith godliness. He added to his godliness perseverance. He's just adding. I see it all over the world. You see the progress. If there is no progress to be seen, then there's probably no building going on. Last week we told you that others are going to build on you. And that better sound important to you. That better tell you that your progress, it matters. We told you last week that you should not lay again the foundation. That was in Hebrews, I believe, 6, 1 and 2. Right there, to not lay again the foundation, but to continue on to maturity. If you're always starting over, if you're always having to lay again a new foundation, then you'll never build anything big. Right now, if we made him start all the way over, I heard him sigh. Oh, brother, I'm just kidding. If we made him start all the way over, that was a lot of time lost. That was a lot of energy lost. And that's what Hebrews is telling us. We have these problems in our life. We have faith issues in our life. We have sin issues in our life. That doesn't mean you should just burn the whole thing to the ground and start again. No, you need to progress. You need to go on to maturity. Some people have a scorched earth mentality where when they mess up, they completely burn everything to the ground and start over. Oh, I had this sin in my life, so now I have to start over. And you don't see them at church for another year. I've seen it. It's crazy. Don't do that. Are you growing? Evaluate yourself. You need to look at your life. Shouldn't we all be a little further down the road in our building process? Me included. Hebrews 5:12. This man, you want to know a good smack in the face scripture? It's Hebrews 5:12. In fact, though by this time, look what time it is. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. He's looking at the people in the face here, and he's saying, you ought to be so much more than you are. You ought to be teachers by now. Instead, I'm having to teach you, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, if you believe in him, yes, there's this thing called repentance, right? If we're having to teach you this over and over again, lay again this foundation, you can never grow up to be a teacher, to be more, to build bigger. Does this make sense? This is exactly what he's saying. You are called to build big. I was talking to someone on the phone today. Maybe you're watching right now. I was talking to you. And that person, I was praying for that person. I said, I was praying. I just really felt God's presence. I was like, and God, let them see exactly what you're calling them into. Let them have the courage and the boldness to walk into everything that you're called. And that person stopped me right in the middle of praying. Said, oh, no, no, Christopher, I'm not called. I'm not called. No, you're talking to the wrong guy. No, I'm not called to anything. What are you talking about? If you are in this place and you don't think that you are called to something, you don't understand Jesus. You don't understand God. You don't understand how we reached down and picked up a shepherd boy. You don't understand how we reached down and picked up a guy, a nobody named Abraham. You don't get how we gathered 12 fishermen and tax collectors. You don't get it. He's calling you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. He's calling you. I was like, are you kidding? You are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Baby, that's you. You're called. You're called. You're called. This guy, his problem was, man, he thought the calling was that he was supposed to wear a suit and a tie and show up and live a holy life and be able to quote a lot of scripture. Man, you are selling short the calling of God. That's not impressive. No, God can call you to greater, bigger things than that, than just looking religious. My. God is still building you. You messed up. You're not perfect. You got all... That's all right, because the master builder is still building you. There might be something wrong with me. I'm not everything I could be. Me too. That's me. Oh, but you don't understand. As long as I have been building, I really should see more progress in my life. Me too. That's me. You're not special. That's me too. I'm a nobody. And when I look at everything, I'm just nowhere near done, you know. I just, you know. Me too. I'm nowhere near done. And that's a good thing. Come on, somebody. That's a good thing. This is not the end. This is just the stepping stone to the next thing. We're building taller towers around her. We're building more. We're enlarging the tent of God. The scripture talks about. You need to feel challenged by today. Do you feel a little bit challenged? I want to challenge you. I want to get up in your face and say, there's bigger. Get to work. Get to work. But I don't want you to feel beat up today, because God's still building you. All your imperfections, that's all right, because he'll take care of that. Trust him. He's still building you. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, but I'm just not perfect. That's all right. He's still working. He's not done building. Oh, man, I've got all these problems. I'm always going to have these problems. Oh, no, no, friend. No, if you always have those problems, you're not confident in the builder. Oh, here's what you need to know. Let me cut right to the end here. You need to know this. You're built to build, so don't stop building. Get your hands active. Do something. Get right in the middle of the church. Get right in the middle of your work. Get right in the middle of your family. Get right in. You feel like you're called to be a leadership person, lead some people. Get in there, invest in yourself, build all that. Get your hands right in the thick of it, and don't stop. Given the time and the effort, there is no telling what could be built. I want you to stop for a second, buddy. Look around here. Just get out of the way so everybody here can really see what you've done here. So, eventually, this guy's pretty much run out of all the Legos we have to give him. Now, if we had... Oh, there we go. What a good steward. All right. If we had enough Legos to give you, Robert, and you had enough time, and we even had scaffolding to help you build and grow and talk, could you build a house? Yeah. Absolutely. Could you build furniture for us? I think, yeah. You could build, this guy could build anything if he just had the resources and he just had the time. No, man, what we said today is that God will give us everything we need. So you got the resources. You got to learn how to use the time. Use the time, buddy. You can be seated. Let's give this guy one more hand. He's awesome. God's divine power, it'll give you everything you need. So that's what you need to know. Keep building. Here's what you need to do. You need to recommit today to what you're building. Maybe while I was preaching, you're like, oh, man, that's me. Oh, or this. Or even something I didn't say, but it like went ding. Yeah, I want to do that. Recommit to it today. Give your heart to it today. Get right down into the middle of it. Start today. You need to join others in what they're building and allow them to join you. We've talked about that. You're created to connect. So be brave enough to tell a brother or sister or family member about what you feel like you're being called into. And here's the deal. Evaluate. Evaluate yourself. Where are you lacking? Because God wants to build you up. He wants to take care of things. Can I tell you, there's some stuff in the life of a Christian that if you're lacking them, you need to get them. And it's just simple obedience. Here's one of them, repentance. If you've got a sin in your life, or if you've just never repented, you need to repent. You need to turn away from that sin. That's something you got to have. If you're lacking that, man, you are really lacking, and you won't ever be able to grow past it. How about this one, baptism? You've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. His name, he'll give you everything you need. You got to do it. You need the divine power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to ask God, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You need to ask Jesus daily, God, fill me with your words. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with all the fruits of the Spirit. All of that. Fill me with all of your divine power. If you're lacking those things, it's going to stop you from building. I mean it with all my heart. You can't build past no repentance. You can't build past disobedience. If I show you in God's word where it says you need to be baptized and you said, no, I don't. I don't need to be baptized. You're not going to grow past that disobedience. Anything I said today, you can't grow past that disobedience. If I told you the truth and you said, no, I'm not going to do that, then that's an area in your life. It's going to be a huge lacking hole in your life where you didn't grow past. You're called to build. Baby, build. Get into it. Trust God. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We tell you about them every time. We worship the Lord together. Everybody worships. We worship a living God. Number two, we receive the Word of God. I've given you the Word of God today. It's kind of weird. We're talking about toys and all that stuff, but make no mistake, friends, it's the Word of God, and you need to receive it. And then third, this is the next thing we're going to do. We're going to talk to God. We do a little thing around here. Well, we just open up this space right here. We call it the altar. And this space is open right now, Redemption Church. You can come on right up in the front. But I want you to take some time and talk to God. If you don't feel comfortable coming forward, that's okay. But wherever you are, I want you to talk to Him today. I want you to be challenged and ask Him, God, Lord, Lord, that scripture that says that we should be confident that the one that started the work will finish the work, God. Lord, I'm asking you, to finish the work in me. If you're in this house and you want special prayer, if you want to get a hold of some divine power, I want to invite you in the first 2 feet. If you come in the first 2 feet, that lets us know you want us to pray with you. We're not going to mess with you if you don't come in the first 2 feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your divine power. I thank you for the name of Jesus. I thank you for the authority of your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've got big things for me to do, big things for my family to do, big things for Redemption Church to do, big things for every person in this room to do, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, let them walk right in the middle of that calling, right into the middle of that election that you have for them right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, speak to us. Come
on. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.